Welcome to Season 2 of the Voce Dialogues, Voices of Compassionate Evolution. Hi, I'm Chloe Goodchild, founder and author of The Naked Voice. Transform your life through the power of sound. The Voce Dialogues provide a platform to share and transmit the many ways in which your embodied, authentic voice is the essential catalyst for compassionate communication. Enjoy these magical new dialogues with friends and companions, visionaries and activists, sharing their healing revelations and stories of compassion in the world. Enjoy. It's my great privilege to be in dialogue today with the brothers Corin, Thorold and Isaac. Big welcome to you guys.
Thank you so much, Chloe. Such an honor to be here with you in this dialogue.
Thank you, Chloe.
Just a great joy, a real joy, and I know it will be for our listeners. So let me just share with you a little bit. If you haven't heard of the brothers Corin, which is unlikely, because they are literally spreading the planet with inspirational voice and communication. But just in case you haven't heard about them yet, they are transformational voice leaders and co-creators of Your Big Voice. I love that title. The brothers are journeymen and guides for those seeking deeper connection and healing through the profound medium of voice, music, and song. They live in service to a bold vision. And quoting Thorold and Isaac, they've said, "Our wish is for each and every person to be radically expressed. A world where all genders, races, ethnicities, and human lives are fully connected to their voices, their stories, and their authentic selves." And through the development of the Songwriter's Journey and Your Big Voice programs, the brothers Corin are helping thousands to reclaim their voices, especially those who thought they couldn't sing out. And the stories and songs that have lain dormant, unearthing a diversity of big voices from all around the world. The brothers have worked with Fortune 500 companies, presented at TEDx, and they're faculty of the Exponential Medicine Conference and musical directors for the Association of Transformational Leaders. And it's been my great joy to be able to meet you guys through the Shift Network. So here we go, and I just cannot wait to just really evolve and unfold this conversation with you around the theme of compassion. My sense is you're both walking compassion. I would love to hear how you together and individually really give language to compassion for yourselves. What does compassion mean for you personally? And then for us to just explore a little how that compassion is playing out in this time. Because I know that you've given a large piece of your time also to the music industry as well, and that you've played in very large gigs around the world. My sense is that you kind of made a decision at some point, perhaps, to broaden your own perceptual fields and to start exploring how the voice, how you might use it in this new, very electric and inspiring way. So what is compassion for you? How would you describe what that is and how it's playing out in your lives?
Thank you, first of all, Chloe. That was such a beautiful introduction. And we, Thorold and I are really, we're really chuffed and honored to be here with you because we're really big fans of your work. And you've really blazed a path for all of us voice leaders and practitioners of this work. So we're really honored to be here, and thank you for this beautiful question. And your voice has lulled us into this beautiful place that we both looked like we'd rather be like just listening to your voice for the next half an hour. But thank you. It's a beautiful question. And the word compassion, we were just looking it up, and it feels like we've outgrown definitions a lot of the time. But there is some beauty to it and a really important piece to it. But it seems like compassion is understood out there as suffering with, but also helping. And, you know, so empathy is that suffering with, but then the compassion piece kicks in and you're a stand for that person. And I think we resonate with that. But we also, I think for us, compassion is about first holding strong resonance in your container, in your voice, because we encounter voices like you every day, terrified and traumatized voices. And we stand at that peculiar mouth of that river of souls who are here in this life to go towards it, you know, to go towards what makes them uncomfortable and voice it, to dare to voice all of themselves, and to dare to move through and process perhaps trauma or anything that they're afraid to voice, including their joy, you know, as well as their fear. So we have to hold, often we have to hold a very, I'll say, compassionate space. And for us, that is understanding why and where they, how they are feeling. So having that empathy, having that resonant understanding, but then also for us, it's standing strong in our container, in our voice, and demonstrating for them some boundaries in our voice so that they can hold those boundaries for themselves, so they can hold that strong, safe space for themselves that has some edges in the kind of boundaryless world that we live in. We can hold that, that space, that loving, that generous space for ourselves. And, you know, for us, compassion is really making sure that we're grounded in ourselves so that we can be generous, that we can be modeling that generosity so that if someone can have a positive experience of their own voice, then we've helped that person move away from the trauma for a moment. And so, yeah, so compassion for us is that helping by modeling, holding that boundary around our voice, that safe space around our own voice.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? I totally understand what you're speaking about. That's so beautiful how you described it. The sheer extent of humanity who really have this fear, this terror, you know, and how do you think that has actually arisen? Why is that? Why has that happened, do you think? You know, and it's interesting, the last 3 years, of course, have really sort of accentuated that even more. In a way, perhaps it's even inspired you even more to realize just how incredibly potent and important the work that you're doing, for example, is at this time to help people to really face the fear and give voice to it. Because so often that fear is actually what, in my experience, it's actually awe in disguise. It's the antidote.
I 100% agree, especially in your company. It feels like the voice, like you say, the naked voice. The voice is our own unique resonance, like the fingerprint. And the world teaches us that we are the same, that there's nothing, that we're ordinary, that that we stand in line and we're multifaceted versions of the same human family. And yet our voice tells us otherwise. Our voice says, you are never going to happen again. You are a one-of-a-kind expression of this earth, of God, however you want to see it, of nature. And that's a lot of responsibility, isn't it? That's a lot of potential awe. And what do we do with that feeling? How do we explain that vulnerable feeling that, wow, I'm incomparable.
It'd be lovely to hear your, just some examples, your experiences of people that you're working with and so on. And I'd love also just to hear how you have happened, how you yourselves have happened and found yourselves in this position. Because I mean, I'm aware that you were in a very public, like in the music industry, working with big players and very, you know, very well known along with yourselves. And I always remember Peter Gabriel saying once, you know, that we, as an international music industry artist, you can be yourself in a way on stage that is the complete antidote of who you are when you're off stage. And I that was really interesting to me. Very often, he said, you know, very often people that are very introverted find themselves only by being on stage. But it's like, I think what happened for me was I started really wanting to kind of explore what happens between that moment where you're on the stage and you're moving towards the stairs to come down into your ordinary everyday life, and why there is that disparity between, you mentioned the word ordinary, which I thought was lovely, we are ordinary. Mm-hmm. But there's something about the whole music industry and music education and that has kind of forced this kind of false kind of experience of what being a musician is, which
yeah.
is, in my understanding of your work, everybody is that. And that's my sense as well.
Oh, there's so much to say about this in this conversation. I kind of want to circle every question in one and return to compassion for one moment. To me, Isaac and I's work is centered around what we've each had to do. And I'll speak for myself. I've had a very dynamic mental health, mental illness journey in my earlier life. Mm-hmm. And I get to be a model and a brother for that same invitation for others through the voice. And even though we've both been in this of guiding and coaching for a decade, it goes all the way back to when I was 20, when I first started guiding a holistic approach to the voice. But it wasn't until we started this work where we recognized that ultimately everybody has this whole body instrument to call home for right now only. And that is both scary and full of awe, right? And to come back to this fear and awe that you talked of, we look at it as nerves and excitement are required to play in this medium. And we don't work with anyone that doesn't have both of those ingredients. And I love just how you say fear and awe, because that's even more beautiful than nerves and excitement.
Mm.
And if you look at the chemistry of fear and awe, they're so closely chemically the same. It's just the perspective. And to me, compassion is our willingness to let go of meaning or judgment of what's good or bad, and to come home into these whole body instruments where our voice is the driving language that we get to speak to life with, that we get to interface with life with, and that we no longer have claws. Like we say quite often, we have these voices, these incredible active and biodynamic, they're just these streaks of color that we use with resonance, where we get to not just sound out what it feels like to be ourselves, but also to receptively drink in others and the world around us, including nature. So to me, compassion is first and foremost to put the oxygen mask on yourself, like we like to say, to invite yourself home in the instrument that you've been given. And when we do that, we can also then invite all those parts maybe we've deemed not okay, that we've been fighting off and been afraid of. And that's where the fear grows, in that division, right? That small, quiet wars we have with trying to get rid of bad feelings or feelings of shame, guilt, scaredness, terror, petrification, all those things. And so in our work, we encourage, in fact, we need for that person we're guiding to invite all aboard, to invite all parts of themselves, and especially those parts that they've been avoiding or denying or declining in an unhealthy way, but to bring it all in and start to become comfortably uncomfortable again. And then the last piece I want to add is that you said that in the realm of compassion, when we can actually bring it all home, we can then begin to voice. And those parts of us that need, we've been afraid of voicing, our greatest songs. And I think you started to touch on that, between what we fear the most, we can then revere. And we've been looking into this a lot lately. Like, it's the same thing with the artist you spoke of, Chloe. When we either fear the artist, in the music industry, the broke artist, or we revere them to such a wild extent. So there's such a beautiful mirror and reflection between the voice we know we have and the voice we love in famous singers. And so compassion to me is, can you first simply gift yourself the pleasure, the privilege to say yes to all parts? And when we do that, we associate again, we come home, we stop the division within ourselves, and we want to offer that outwards to everyone around us.
I love that. I absolutely love that. I mean, you're reminding me of very precious moments of being in indigenous communities and so on, where singing and sound and voicing is still completely a non-self-conscious, it's a totally embodied, everyday, integral to everyday life activity. And I'll never forget singing with the Blackfeet up in northern Montana. And I was just wanting to learn more from them about the skills they use for listening and for creating fields of listening. And they looked at each other and I looked like this kind of white middle-class spiritual shopper who's coming to steal their information. and they just looked at me and they said, well, we can't tell you anything more about our life until we've heard your sound.
Wow.
And so we went roaring off into the dark and ended up at their house. And then suddenly I was like really very suspicious kind of looking item, you know, in their house. And they just said, they just put me at one end of the room and they were quite reserved, but they were willing to play, you know, just to see. And they just said, right, sing. and I sang. I just thought they'd taught me so much, just sharing with me about how they negotiate with the bears, for example, who's going to eat the blueberries first and who's going to have so much and how they language with the animals and all of that. It was just, I was completely just enthralled really with what they were sharing. And then I just shared a kind of sacred Indian Sanskritic devotional chant, which didn't have many words, but mainly was around the word of the mother and Ma and Mother Nature. I was so inspired by being with them that I just went off into this melody line, which I love so much. At the end of it, I remember opening my eyes, and it went very quiet, and I remember opening my eyes, and they were in my face staring at me as if I was some kind of weird scientific specimen, you know. and they just said, "So how did that sound come out of you? Like, where did you get that from?" And that was so, God, that taught me mountains of information, you know, like, where did you get that from? And there was I, and there were we. And there was that song coming from somewhere else that had traveled thousands of miles from another culture altogether. Mm. And we were all suddenly absolutely in the same place. And suddenly it was like the sound, which was apparently coming from miles away, was culturally of a quality that totally attuned with the sound that is totally familiar with them.
Yes.
I sense this is what I hear you doing with your people. You know, it's hearing that essence that once heard ignites the compassionate heart or something like that.
What a beautiful story.
Wow.
Yeah, compassion is with passion, you know, and you were connecting to this, you were co-hearing what they were hearing through your channel, and you were being with your passion. You know, and they could feel that.
Yeah,
it's powerful.
It's maybe at that origination point within us all, within each of our instruments, is, you know, it's pre-gender, it's pre-God, if you wish. It's the intelligence of life, you know, that predates culture and even ancestry. It's
pre-concept of God.
Yeah, exactly. There is just the resonance that we are, and that story is just an illustration. And I feel like your story further answers and reopens the question you said, why are we seeing even more fear around voice?
Right. You know,
especially since the world is speeding up and going exponential with AI, but also, you know, in this post-COVID time and a lot of uncertainty. Yeah. I think the answer is sort of very evident, that those that have not found a pathway home to being embodied, being back behind the playground of their face and leaning back on the human scale of their spine and living back into their pelvis and allowing the pyramid of power or their pelvic floor and belly to fill up and fall away, that those that hadn't found a pathway fully back into this body have moved further and further into disassociative states, feeling out of body and feeling more and more in the outness and the disclaiming of the value of their voice, rather than centered and back in trust when the chaos brews around them, that they're back in trust with that instrument. So I feel like what we're seeing is more and more people awakening to the need for them to value themselves enough to reawaken to the value that they inherently are, this intrinsic value they are, the them that they really are beyond anything else is voice for this lifetime. And I think the more we can lead people home, you know, to embody that voice, the more they can begin to emerge into the life that they were, you know, destined to experience.
Yeah.
And fear becomes all there.
Right. Yeah. That is so beautiful. And then it's the question is, how effortlessly can this happen?
Hmm.
I'm aware that you are two beings. I think there's something so powerful about the fact that you're two brothers, literal brothers, as well as soul brothers, your biological brothers and your soul brothers. And there's something very powerful about that and how you visit compassion with and for each other in order for this larger field to be possible.
Hmm.
How does that work for you both?
Beautiful question.
Well, life has given us certainly some opportunities to help each other. And I think, yeah, to be compassionate about each other's expression individually, and also compassionate when we are collaborating, like making requests of each other, making invitations for each other to step in.
You're modeling that embodiment together as friends, as well as very distinct individuals, because you're quite distinct and different, as well as complementary.
Yeah, I feel like I think we've really had the chance to learn how to yes and embody the ways of being we're inviting people into. You know, I really, if you boil it down, we're such beautiful, simple, complex creatures, and in order to really be guides of this work, you know, coming home and to the voice, and then also inviting the voice into that medium. When we really look at it, we're spending our time reaching out toward people and bringing them home into their voice, and then giving them permission and new ways of being to explore what's here for them to tune into. And to do that, we've had to embody not only those qualities as leaders, but we've had to embody those qualities as co-leaders and collaborators to model the collaboration that we're seeking to really create a space for everyone to step back into. We believe that everyone in their natural state is wildly creative and radically expressive. And there's no two voices the same, as we know.
Yeah, that's so true. And so tell me, I would love to hear also, you were just before we started recording, you were mentioning that you have a vision that's emerging, that's evolving for choral fields. Is that right? But that you've already worked a lot with choral fields in your recording and also with people. I'd love to hear more about that and what role or what purpose and what part choral sound, as in harmony singing and so on, just by its very nature, you cannot help but access states of compassion once that harmony singing is going.
So
yeah, well, I think harmony is a great example of compassion in action, because in order for harmony to exist, there must be two different notes. There must be two distinct notes that are in right relation and in pleasing relation. In symmetry, however you want to look at it, balance between the differences, you know, that there's so much. I mean, life is created perhaps in that polarity, in the vesica Pisces, in the differentiation of life. And so compassion is that, like you said, complementary nature of the two differences. So I think for us, a lot of the songwriting we've been doing recently is in chorale settings in the sense that we're writing songs with hundreds of people sometimes at a time in the moment, and finding the harmony inherently in the collaborative process. And then our vision for this next album that we're making is definitely, we see in the round with, you know, 40, 50 people that are exuberantly expressing, you know, in a differentiated way, the oneness, you know, the connection that we have.
Yeah. I love it. I love the sound of that, because that's also, so it's very live, isn't it? It's like in the moment. It's the music. So the music is growing out of the moment.
Everything is,
yeah.
And we want to, capture that. Capture that in that sense. Bottle that lightning.
That's the idea. Well, you know, in so many ways, so many recordings. I mean, there's incredible recordings. You're multi-tracked out. There's some incredible opportunity when, you know, there's these parts, there's the sections, so there's like you said, a choral field. I love that there's the expression of presence of multiple voices together, being captured live and making an album that, or an EP that captures that essence. And I think for our whole career, even as the kin, you know, our intention underneath was always to circle people together, to rally people together, to break the fourth wall of the stage, to close the gap, even when people were trained to consume or experience music from that revered place, that they were not the artist and they're excited to buy a ticket and get a drink or take their seat and experience that of which they weren't, that they were so excited that you were for them. And whilst that is in sort of ancient human experience, you know, that old way of voice, that voice was for the few and then the rest of us were in the audience, living vicariously through the expression, we feel like there's also another way, and we believe that other way is the ancient way, which is there may have been some standout voices, but those voices were leadership. Those voices were guides to guide all of those around the fire to find the rarity and the original voice within them, and to allow their voice to be that guiding, metabolizing force of the expression of life, be it grief or joy, rage, or any variation of emotion, that everything was all okay and needed, and your voice was a vehicle and music was a medicine to do so, that it was for all of us, not for the few. So it's just a further emergent step for us to return to that intention, not just as leaders, but also artists again, and just sort of circle it up and let the music
have its way,
be the message around, you know, around that.
Oh my goodness. That really sounds thrilling, really exciting. I'd love to explore that with you. In the term, it just sounds so really exciting. There are artists that are coming to mind. I suppose somebody like Meredith Monk was someone, you know, in a previous generation who was exploring or sort of opening the door on what you're describing. But it's very, very potent what you're calling for, because it's something you almost feel as if it would be, imagine if this work was taken into the political arena. You know, that literally all politicians would be trained in this method.
Oh my goodness, yes.
You
let's
know,
do that.
You know what I mean? So we just literally, once and for all, kind of move through this insanity of dualistic opposing forces, you know, being right and wrong and, you know, beyond right and wrongdoing, you know, and that's what I hear you really manifesting together and with others. It's very, very inspiring.
Oh, thank you, Chloe.
You guys. And I can't believe we're actually coming to a close with this particular dialogue, but it would be lovely just to stay in the conversation with you and just to evolve the conversation, because I think people are so ready for it, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm thinking also of people like Jacob Collier,
Yes.
who's just he's just insane, but he's in such a deep state of joy, you know. Yes, and his whole sort of musicianship is so empowered and like yourselves, just very, very ready and alert and just fearlessly just stepping into the oneness of the field, really.
Yes.
Just remembering that for people, that's what I have a sense that's what's happening for you with your work, is you're not having to teach in that old way of, like, now we're going to da 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 da. It's more
Right,
like,
it's more of a guiding. I see
yeah.
Jacob as really a guide. He's facilitating
Yeah.
a space, a safe space for people to recognize and remember how musical they are.
It's amazing. He's playing the room like a symphony, and really, really beautiful to watch what he's doing. So it's so inspiring. And yeah, I would say he's definitely an inspiration. Also, even in the worship world, not that we're coming from any denomination or any kind, but even Maverick City Music, looking at how they
Right.
most recently in the worship world have just really just brought voice together in a way that, of course, the church and worship music for generations has sought to do. They've just done it in such a beautiful way that that's also been very inspiring to watch. We're really excited to see that
Oh, that's
out in the
fantastic.
world
I
as
must
well.
catch that. That's a new one for me. I must catch that.
Really
That's
beautiful.
fantastic. Oh, well, guys, this is we've opened the door on this conversation.
Yes.
There's so much more to share about this, but there's no question that compassion is the absolute source at the root of the musical journey, and that's really what I'm so touched by watching, listening, and hearing the impact of the way you're guiding, the two of you are
Thank
guiding.
you.
It's understanding. It's a new understanding. When I say it's new, it's maybe it's being remembered. So it's an
Yes.
understanding. Yeah,
It's
there's only
absolutely that.
right. There's only one of us. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Beautiful.
I thank you both so much. I don't know whether there's anything you would like to just complete with there, or something you'd like to sing or share.
We just have an invitation for all of you listening to take this opportunity to trust and to come home to your voice, because you're worth it. And whatever means, whatever pathways you find for that in your local communities, in our world, in Chloe's world, in our shared work upcoming, which I'm envisioning, to surround yourself in an environment where your voice is needed and wanted, and to be part of this new remembrance of this voice positive world we can create, not fighting the division, not fighting the old guard, remembering the ancient new pathway where your voice is the center, and we're all waiting to be touched by it.
I love that, remembering the ancient new. I'm going to write that one down. Bless you. Thank you so much, and every joy and on your journey. I know you're moving over, you're traveling, doing a lot of traveling and teaching over in New York. You were mentioning in Omega and Kripalu and all these
Yes.
wonderful places for the emergence and evolution of sound in the world.
Indeed.
Blessings.
Onward we go. Blessings
Thank you,
for you,
Chloe.
Chloe. Thank you
Yeah.
so much for including our voice.
Thank you more than I can say. Blessings. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this dialogue, please consider visiting our Patreon page where you can support and help us to spread the word about these compassionate conversations. Please visit patreon.com/vocedialogues for more information.